Word that reveals Him to us, and those things that we need to know and to understand. We pray that as we look at Thy Word today, that we might learn some practical things that would help us to honor and glorify and praise the great God and Savior that we have, Jesus Christ. We pray once again for any who might be here who have not trusted Him as their Savior, who've never been born again. We pray that they might come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ and realize that He died for them, and eternal life can be theirs by trusting our Savior as their Savior. We pray for those who might have frustrations and doubts about their salvation. We pray they might come to a full knowledge of it again today. In His name we pray. We've seen in the last few weeks in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 about a man who had committed incest, and how Paul told them to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, but he'd still be saved. And they turned him over to Satan, the church did. Paul tells them to purge out the old leaven or sin in this manner, because first thing you know, the whole lump becomes like that. And he tells us not to keep company with fornicators. We're not to associate ourselves with people who are in open sin and going around bragging about it. We aren't to associate with those that are saved. Now, unsaved people, that's a different thing. We don't associate with unsaved people. How can we ever lead them to Christ? This is what he's telling us. This is one of our main jobs on the earth, after we trust Jesus Christ our Savior, is to be a good witness and a good testimony for Jesus Christ. And of course, you can't win people if you're not around them. And Paul says if we aren't around the unsaved who do these kind of things, then we might as well go on out of the world. And we will be out of the world because they're all around us. And we have to associate with them if we're going to have a witness to them. You can't just isolate yourself from the unsaved and become a hermit and win a world for Jesus Christ. You've got to get out there where they are and get amongst them. You don't have to be of the world, but you've got to be in the world, and we need to be a good witness while we are there. And so this is what Paul is writing them. Now, he's correcting them also on some other things. As we go through the sixth chapter of 1 Corinthians here, first he's going to talk about going to court. And our relationship to other Christians as far as litigation is concerned. And there are some very definite things that he says to us about that. Also, they were having lots of not only trouble with this man as far as sex is concerned, but they had some other problems that he's going to talk about also in this sixth chapter and some of the seventh chapter. He also is going to talk about eating some meat that's offered to idols. Things that are doubtful, things that the Bible does not cover. He's going to start talking about those, and we'll have four laws that a Christian is under as far as things that the Bible does not talk about. In other words, if the Bible says it's wrong to commit adultery, it's wrong. I don't care where you find it. It always is wrong while the Bible says it is. It's always wrong to murder, isn't it? Always wrong to murder. Never is right to murder. Now, there's a difference between murdering and killing. But when we say murder, we'll explain all that when we get there. But it's always wrong. There are other things that is always wrong and never is right. It never is right to steal. You can't find it. It's never right to get drunk, ever, under any circumstances, right to get drunk. The Bible says don't do it. If it says don't do it, then you don't do it, you know. If you do, it's wrong. Now, there are things that the Bible doesn't mention. What about those? Well, we have four laws to regulate that. And these will be very important for you when we get to chapter 7 and chapter 8, chapter 9. Along in there will be some important things that we'll need to know and to understand, and some principles that will guide our life in this kind of thing. And it'll be some things that you'll be able to relax in your life, some of you. Some things that have been bugging you and bothering you, and you don't know what to do about it. Some people say it's wrong, some people say it's right. Some people say you can't do it, some people say you can't. Well, what about it? Well, we're going to talk about all that, but that's a little later on. Then he also talks about death a little later on too, but we'll get to that, and he corrects some ideas about that. But this morning we want to look at this business of going to law, because that's what is on hand here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And he's got some very definite things to say. Now notice he says in verse 1, "Dare any of you having a matter against another?" Another of the same kind. Now this is a person who is gotten crossed up with another Christian. Now remember and notice that we said another Christian. There's a difference between your relationship to Christians and your relationship to unsaved people. If you are a Christian and another Christian has wronged you, or you have wronged them, then that's one thing. Now, if it's an unsaved third person, we have a different principle altogether. Now, notice, dare any of you to have a matter against another, go to law before the unjust. Now, who are the unjust? The unsaved. Those who've never been justified. Those who have never been born again. In other words, this is Rome. In Paul's day, he's talking about Rome. Now, here's a Christian, and he is on the outs with another. They've got a dispute, so they go to Rome, and they say, "Now, you settle the dispute for us." He's taken some of my property, and he's wrong. And they'll say, "No, that was my property." So they're arguing about it. So, okay, we'll go over here and let Rome settle it. No, you don't go to Rome. You don't go to the state. You don't go to the county and let them decide a dispute between two Christians. You do not do that before the unjust, but and not before the saints. What do? You're to go to the saints. You're to go to the Christians and let the Christians do the judging. In other words, if you are on the out and you feel like somebody's wronged you, and it's a matter of court procedure, then you ask Christians to arbitrate. The Christian is to be the arbitrator. You say, "Well, I thought Christians aren't supposed to judge." Well, they're not under certain circumstances, but this is a time when Christians can. There are several times when we are not to judge others. Paul tells in the book of Romans that we are not to judge our brother, because that brother stands or falls before the Lord. It's not my job to stand up and to judge you as to whether you're doing what God wants you to do. I've never tried to tell a man God's will for his life. Ernest Thomas stood up this morning and said that we need some people to work in the bus ministry. And I've never said a single person ought to be working in that ministry. Now, I know some of you ought to. We need some more additional help. But I don't know who they are. It's not my job to go around and pick them out and decide who is to work here. That's not mine. That's your responsibility to find out where the Lord wants you. You can come to me and we'll sit down and I'll be glad to talk with you and I'll be glad to explain it to you. Ernest, we're other jobs around the church. We'll be glad to sit, but it's not our responsibility to go say that this is your job. Now, bum, you've got to start working in the bus ministry tomorrow. It's not my job. You see. Not my job to go up to the bum and say, "Now, bum, you've been lazy lately. You got to get with the program." In so many words. That's his responsibility. Now, he's going to stand or fall before the Lord. God's going to judge him. If he hadn't been getting with the program and he's been lazy and he's been sitting around twiddling his thumbs and has not been serving the Lord has a switch. And he can get him in high gear. Now, if I go over there fiddling with him, what am I going to do? Just run him further and further and further away. Now, I may be able to go by and pick him up someday, and we go out and I start witnessing, and he sees me witnessing. Boy, you know, old Nat did a great job. You know, I ought to be doing that. First thing you know, he may be doing it. Don't you think that's a much better way to do it? Somebody's not doing something, well, you just go by and get them. Don't tell them what you're going to do necessarily. But lead the way rather than trying to shove somebody. You know, you go shoving on me and boy, I get sort of hard-headed. It's wrong. You're going to make me do something, you better be able to do it. Then but one person, two people in this world make me do anything I don't want to do. That's my mama and the Lord. going to try to shove at me, you sure better be able to shove hard enough. I'm that way, and I find out most people, my little girl is worse, she's worse than I am, I think. My three-year-old. And I can lead her a whole lot better than I can push her. Now, I can push her because I got the manpower to do it with, and I have to sometimes. But I find that's a whole lot easier to talk her into doing something right quick, you know, before she realizes what she's doing. Well, that's another thing. And that's the way we ought to be doing. But now, here we have two people who are going to law against each other. We stand or we fall before the Lord. The Lord's able to make us stand, or he can take us and spank us, because we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ as far as our relationship with him is concerned, as far as judgment is concerned. Now, he's talking about judgment here. We aren't to go to law before the unjust, not before the saints. Notice this next verse. Verse 2. Do you not know? Don't you understand? And in this passage of scripture here in the 6th chapter, 6 times he says, don't you know something? Look at verse 2. Know ye not that you'll judge what? The world. Look at verse 3. Know ye not that you'll judge what? Angels. Did you know that one of these days we're going to judge angels? Did you know that one of these days we who know Jesus Christ our Savior are going to judge the world? We are. I'm going to help judge the world one of these days. I'm talking about the whole God-figured thing. Not only that, but angels. And do you know that angels are higher than men? They are higher creation. They are smarter. One of these days, we're going to sit in judgment of those angels, some of them. Well, look at verse 9. Don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Unrighteous, unsaved people, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Is everybody going to be saved? Not everybody. Unrighteous is not going to inherit the kingdom. Look at verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Verse 16, know ye not that he who is joined to a harlot is one body? Verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? 6 times he says, know ye not. So he's trying to tell us something. And this is what we want to look at, is some of these things this morning that he wants to tell us, that know ye not. We're not to go before an unsaved person as far as judgment is concerned, because we're going to judge the world. Look at verse 2 again. Know ye not that saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, and it will be, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Here's little old matters, things that doesn't make a whole lot of difference. Here's a person who is beating somebody out of $15, $20, or maybe $50. What difference does it make? That's a small matter. And you're going to take that up here to the court, and you're going to let some unsaved person judge between you, and look at the testimony. Well, here's two people. Here's old John and here's Tom. And boy, they are fighting it out. They're supposed to be saved. They're supposed to be brothers. They're in the same fellowship. They are both Christians, and they're both trying to maintain a testimony. But they are arguing over $50. And they go up here to the court and try to let the court settle the $50. And what happens to testimony? Right down the drain. And here's old Tom now. He's trying to witness to some of those people there in the courtroom. You think he's going to get very far with them? They've just been chewing each other out, these two Christians. And if that's Christianity, I don't want any part of it. It's what the unsaved person's going to say. Here we are doing everything that we can, we who know Christ as our Savior, to do what? To lead unsaved people to the Lord. Or are we? Does it really matter to us if people die and go to hell? Does it matter? If it matters, it'll matter about everything we do, everything we say. It'll matter about our actions. It'll even matter about the things that we think that we do not even say. get concerned about unsaved people and the fact that we need to get the gospel out to them and we need to witness to them and lead them to Christ. Then it'll make a lot of difference in the way we act and what we do. When some people get concerned about lost people, we'll see the bus ministry going. We'll see visitation on Tuesday night going. We'll see people on their jobs witnessing for Jesus Christ. You know, we've got some folks who are giving up their vacation to go to junior camp. Why? To teach those kids how to be saved. Witness to them. Help them to grow so they can witness to their friends. Paying half of their way. We do pay half of the way. We do, and they have to pay half of their way to go to preach. I call that dedication. Now I know some of you do the same type of thing. You go out of your way to do things for people so you can witness to them. Some of you do. Some of you won't even cross the street and talk to your neighbor. Or your neighbor comes across the street, sits down, drinks a cup of coffee with you, and you aren't even concerned enough to tell them how to get to heaven. You know what that does? That just makes me almost sick in my stomach. To just think that here we have people in our church who know how to be saved and know how to go to heaven themselves, and aren't concerned enough with their roommate or their neighbor or people, their friends that they work with, to ever tell them one time that Jesus died on that cross, was buried, and rose again the third day to pay for all their sin. And their friends, you see, they don't know me, or they don't know somebody else who would tell them. The only person they know is you. We're not concerned. We're so interested in having a good time and having a party or getting off of work so we can go relax and unlax or whatever we're going to do, go skiing or fishing or swimming or hunting or to the movie or someplace. We're unconcerned or looking at the television or whatever to take the time to witness for Jesus Christ. Now, I know we all do it. I've gone into a service station and I know the Lord wanted me to witness to that person, but I was in such a hurry to get over here somewhere that doing something that didn't amount to a whole lot that I didn't witness to them. You know what I did? I kicked myself all the way over to in my mind. You sorry thing. Why don't you witness that fellow? It's not that important you get over there right now. Why, that man might have been just ready, but I was just wanting somebody to tell him, and you didn't even tell him. It bothers me when I don't do it. It bothers me when I have an opportunity to not blow it. It may not bother you. I'll tell you why. Because you have never really gotten a glimpse of the love of Jesus Christ. It's never really gripped your heart. How much Jesus Christ loves the world. That he'd come down and die for it. And I'll tell you another thing. You never really understood and got a glimpse of what hell is like and how long people stay there. And if we have a glimpse of these two things and we understand these two things, there's no way that we can continue to be unconcerned about unsaved people. And we will not let little petty things like going to law with a Christian and ruining our testimony bother us. So he says, dare any of you go to having a matter, any kind of matter, against another of the same kind, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints. Do you not know that saints shall judge the world? I want you to turn with me to Jude in chapter 4. Jude chapter 14, or verse 14, whichever you want to call it. It's on just before the book of Revelation. Jude 14. Just one chapter long. Maybe a little bit hard to find. Jude 14, it says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, but of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s notice it's in the plural there. It's not 10,000, but 10,000s, which would be millions. 10,000s of his saints. Now the Lord is coming with, notice the little preposition there, with. He's going to come with 10,000s of his saints, which means one of these days the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back to the earth, and with him is going to come 10,000s of saved people. All right? Notice verse 15. To do what? To execute judgment. He's going to come back, and we are going to execute judgment upon all, and to convince or convict all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all the hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. In other words, he's going to come back one of these days to judge, and we're going to judge with him. Notice in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. On page 1036, Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory. Now, when the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes in his glory, that means he's going to come back to the earth in glory. He's going to come to the earth, and he's going to be King of kings and Lord of lords over the earth. He's going to come in glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Now, he's going to come back and sit upon the throne. That throne is the throne that God promised David's son would sit upon, which is going to be in Jerusalem, and he's going to rule over all the earth. And before him shall be gathered all the nations. The word nations there would be better rendered Gentiles. All the Gentiles, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. In other words, here's all the Gentiles. When he comes back to the earth, everybody that's left, that's not killed, then he's going to divide them. All the Gentiles will come, and they're going to step up, and he's going to divide them either on the right hand or on the left hand, every one of them individually. As a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. In other words, it's time for harvest. They're going to sell, or they're going to kill some of the sheep or goats. They separate, put the sheep over here, the goats over on one side. The sheep would be analogous to the saved, the goats would be to the unsaved. And he shall set the sheep on the one side, the goats on the other side. Verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye my blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, for you were hungry and you gave me food, so on and so forth. And he says, verse 37, then shall the righteous ask him, said, Lord, when were we hungry? And he said, when you did it unto the least of these, you did it unto me. Verse 40. Verse 41, then shall he say unto them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and ye gave me no food. Now, what he's talking about here in the context was those people who are in the 7 years of great tribulation. When they helped the 144,000 to preach, those saved people helped them. And they're going to be on the right hand. Those who didn't are on the left hand. Those who are on the right hand who helped, why did they help? Because they were saved. Because they trusted Christ. They're going to enter in. And we're going to sit there and we're going to judge with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to judge. He's going to judge the nations, the Gentiles. We're going to judge with him. Turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and look at verse 11. It is a faithful saying, 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 11, 1303. It is a faithful saying, if we are dead with him, we shall live with him. If we suffer, we shall also what? Reign. If we suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ, if we serve Him, there's going to be some suffering in connection with it. You know, a lot of people want to serve the Lord and they just want it to be real easy. Just like a lot of people want a job where they don't have to do anything. You know, when you go out looking for a job, you want a job that you can just I guess, sit there and inhale air. And that's all you do is just inhale. Well, God says that we're going to make money by the sweat of our brow. It's going to take some energy to do your job regardless of what it is. A lot of people want Christianity, you know, all you got to do is just inhale air. That's all you do. You don't ever have to do anything else that it's uncomfortable or that it takes any of your time or any of your effort. As long as it's easy and it's exactly what you want to, then that's fine. But if it requires any energy at all, that's not for me. The Bible says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He's going to deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He's not going to deny Himself. When we suffer with Him, we pitch our lot with Him. We take our stand. I'm saved. I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. And it doesn't matter what everybody thinks about us. If they want to think I'm a square, well, that's all right with me. I don't mind being a square. You know, squares at least sharp on the corners. And these folks that go around in big circles, they just end up the same place that they started out. They have big wheels, all right. But where are they going to end up? Just where they start. It's just a matter of how big a circle they're going to go. It doesn't make any difference. Whether it's a little bitty circle, they're just going around just a little bitty place, or whether they're going in a big circle. It doesn't matter. We need to take our stand. We need to let people know that we love Jesus Christ, and we need to, if it means suffering a little bit or a lot, it doesn't make any difference. Because what? If we suffer, we're going to what? Reign. We're going to reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. It's on page 1357. And when he was taken, and when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps. Now the Lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. And these four living creatures, they fall down before him, and they've got harps, and they've got golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. God collects the prayers of the saints, those who are saved, and they pray. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the scroll and open the seals, for thou wast slain. The Lord Jesus Christ was slain, and hath redeemed not us but them to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he died for every kindred, tongue, and people, nation, and hath made not us, but them unto our God, a kingdom of priests. Who? Those who are saved. We are a kingdom of priests, and we shall reign on the what? Earth. We're going to reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more we suffer, the higher in the government we're going to be. The more faithful we are, we may have to take a little wrong, even by a saved person. Doesn't matter. One of these days, we're going to reign with Him. Turn over with me to chapter 20 of Revelation. Look at verse 4. I saw thrones. They sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus Christ and for the word of God, and who had not worshipped the beast. That would be the Antichrist. Neither his image. He sets his image up in the temple in the 7 years of tribulation. And there were those who would not worship him. There are going to be those who will not worship him. There will be those who will not look at his image. And they won't receive his mark in their forehead on their hand. By that they say he's God. Notice, and they lived and they reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now these people are going to reign in with Jesus Christ 1,000 years. The Bible says we're going to rule and reign with Him. I want you to turn back to one other verse of Scripture. And that's in Matthew chapter 25 again. Matthew chapter 25. The parable of the talents. The parable of the talents. Most of you have heard this, but I just want to emphasize a few things. Bill Boggs brought out this when he was here several months ago. And I want to emphasize just a couple of things again today to remind us of this. And some of you, of course, were not here. Here is a man who's gone off into a far country. We'll not read the whole thing, beginning at verse 14. You can read it for yourself later because of a lack of time. And he had three people that he gives talents unto. He gives unto one in verse 15, 5 talents. He gives to another, 2 talents. He gives to a third one, 1 talent. Now, the one who he gave 5 talents went out, and he used his 5 talents, and he multiplied it. He doubled it, and he had 10 talents. He got 5 others. The one who had 2 talents did exactly the same thing. He doubled his, and he had 4. The one who had the 1 talent, he said the master was a mean and hard man. And he went out and hid his. You know, there are a lot of people who think God's hard. They think that God will take away from you and God's not interested in you. And God is just going to make life miserable for you. And so what do? We run and we hide. We're just so afraid we're going to have to suffer a little bit. We're just so afraid we're going to be uncomfortable a little bit about something. That if we turn our life over to the Lord and really do what He wants us to do, then boy, we are just going to be like sitting on pins all the time, or tacks. And we're going to be in awful pain. Or that somebody's going to come up and just start slapping us, just keep on slapping us until our face becomes bloody. Our nose bleeds. And we're going to really and truly have it rough. We think that God's that kind of person. So we go out and we hide out there. We don't do anything with it. We just sit on what we have. But there are others who have two, and they love the Lord, and it doesn't matter what happens to them, they're going to serve Him. And so they do. Well, look at verse 21. And the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. This is the one who had taken the 5 and made 5 more. He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. You've been faithful over that few things, those 5 little talents I gave you, and you were faithful and you made 5 others. I will make you what? Ruler over many. Here he was. 5 talents, made 5 others, he doubled them. God says, I'm going to make you a ruler over much. When? In 1,000 years. We're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. And here we are faithful now, so he'll make us rule over much then. Why? He can trust us now, he can trust us then. If he can't trust us now, can you trust him then? You know, a lot of people do this. They test people. They see whether they're faithful or not. They'll do what they're supposed to do. And you try a person out, they fall through. Next time, you're a little more cautious about trusting Him with something, aren't you? Well, the Lord's given us so many years to live, so many hours to live, so many days to live. And how faithful are we into doing what He wants us to do now? Well, if we're faithful now, He'll make us rule over much then. Notice, I'll make you rule over many things. Enter therefore into the joy of the Lord 1,000 years. He also that had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, thou deliverest me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained thee 2 others. Other talents beside them. The Lord said unto him, what? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. He only had 2. But what did he do? He got the same accommodation. He got the same as the one who had the 5. The Lord said exactly the same thing to him. Here's a guy who's got 8 cylinders. And he's hitting on all 8 of them. Here's another guy who's only got 4 cylinders. But he's hitting on all 4. Which one's blessed? Oh, the same. I used to know a fellow that didn't have but one cylinder, and I'm not even sure he had a whole cylinder. I mean, you know, he had a shooter, but the beans were missing. He just didn't have all his upstairs, or too much upstairs. But I want you to know that fellow, he would witness to anybody. Why, he used to get out on the streets and hitchhike and pick up people and get them lost. He didn't know how to lead them to the Lord, but he'd get them lost and take them to a friend of mine. My friend would lead them to the Lord. You won't believe some of the stories. You won't believe some of the things that he'd do. One day he got in a motorcycle gang and he got them concerned about going to heaven. I mean, here's a guy who hadn't got, he's not real bright upstairs. I mean, he's not bright, he's dumb. He didn't have good clothes, but he had brought the whole motorcycle gang over to my friend's house, and he led just about all of them to the Lord. One day he was out on the highway, and this semi picked him up, a guy in the semi. And this guy, here comes a big semi up in this guy's yard. He didn't know whether he was going to run over the house, whether it was running away or what. He's about ready to get out. And his big old truck driver hopped out, and he led him to the Lord, got in the semi, and went on home. Now, I have an idea that when that boy gets into the millennium, he's going to have all of his beans. And he's going to be ruling over a whole lot. Why? Because he was extremely faithful with what he had. Didn't have much. Wasn't very smart. In fact, I doubt he could pass the second grade. Maybe not even pass the first grade. He could not read. But he could get people lost. And he knew somebody who could lead them to the Lord. Not hard to get a fellow lost. Not hard to get a fellow to realize he's going to hell. Maybe a little bit difficult to lead them to the Lord. And if you don't know if you don't know how to lead people to the Lord, if you get them lost, you bring them over to the house, I'll lead them to the Lord. There are a lot of other people around here that can do it too. And you know, if you hear us now, you all got your shooters. I mean, your shooters and your beans too. You just need a little practice. You know, that's a good way to learn. If you want to learn how, well, get you somebody lost and bring them over to my house and watch me do it. First thing you know, you'll know how to do it and you can do it yourself. Well, here's a man who just had two towers. He only had two cylinders. Boy, he was hitting on those two cylinders. But then there's that poor third fellow. The second fellow, verse 23, the Lord said to him, well done, thy good faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over it. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he that receiveth the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thou that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not spread it. And I was afraid and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast what is mine, thine. For the Lord, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Are you unbelieving, lazy? I'm talking spiritually. Some of you just as smart as you can be. Boy, you study. You work. You can do your job to proficiency. But when it comes down to serving the Lord, you don't have time. Lazy, unconcerned, indifferent. Well, we're going to judge the world one of these days. But the Lord's going to judge us too. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just pray that each of us might be like the man who had the five talent or the two talent. Regardless of our ability, we pray that we might use that ability to your glory and your honor. We pray that we might not be so wound up in materialism, materialistic things, that's all that matters to us. We pray that the thing that really might matter to us might be doing your will, being faithful. We know you told us in your word that you require a steward to be found faithful. And we know we're all stewards of yours, we who know Christ as our Savior. We pray we might be faithful. We can all do that. And Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit might lead us and guide us, that we might be faithful in doing those things that you have for us to do personally and individually. We might serve you, glorify you, honor you. Bless now each of thy word as it's gone forth. We pray that we might take that which your Holy Spirit wants to use in our life. That which is chaff, we pray that the wind might blow it away. We might forget. Use that which you want in our lives today to glorify Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.